Amen. What a wonderful hymn that is. I need thee every hour, and it is a truth that we need to realize in our life to help us that we do need the Lord every day of our life. Romans 15 in our Bibles, Romans chapter 15. We'll get there in just a moment tonight. A common view of hope in our culture is very different than a biblical view of hope. And hopefully by the end of our message here tonight, you understand what hope is biblically, what the Bible has to say. Cultural hope is nothing more than just wishful thinking. And sometimes when you have hope, sometimes you hope for something to happen and it happens. And other times you hope for something to happen and it doesn't happen. And that's kind of the world's perspective of hope. People have a lot of hope in different things that they probably don't even realize each and every day. Let's think about some of those things that people hope in. People have hope in political hope. People often will put their hope in a politician or a party or a government to fix the problems in society. And oftentimes you'll hear campaign slogans like hope and change or a better tomorrow. Why would they say that? Why is there a campaign, a better tomorrow? Well, here's the reason, because they want to give you hope. They want you to think by electing them into power that they will change all the problems that are in our world today. And they may do that. But we also have to remember that leaders are humans and systems are flawed, and political hope is often can lead to disillusionment and disappointment. But our world has political hope. I think there's economic hope. Many hope in financial stability in our world today, for job security, for a strong economy. We have optimism that the stock market will be strong. We want retirement savings to be high. You know, you'll hear people say something like this: well, if I win the lottery, everything will be better. And you'll solve probably some problems, you know, that you have if you win the lottery. But I know this, you'll also have a lot more problems, different problems that you'll have. And so they have economic hope. Riches are uncertain, and they can vanish quickly. Then there's technological and scientific hope. Our culture places hope in science and innovation to solve the problems in our world, like disease and crime and even death. Modern medicine and AI and space exploration, and, you know, these are seen as the ultimate future. And people place great emphasis and hope in these advancements. And technology, I think technology can improve our life. But it cannot solve the problem of sin and mortality. And the reality is, no matter how good medicine gets or how healthy we think we are, all of us, unless the Lord intervenes and comes back, we're all going to die one day. That's just a given. But people place great hope in scientific hope. Then there's personal hope in achievements and dreams. People pin their hopes on career success, on education, on personal goals. You know, they'll say something, well, if I get that promotion, you know, if I can buy that house, if my kids can succeed, then I'll be happy. And they place all of their hopes in these things. But achievements fade, and unmet dreams can lead to despair. And then there's relational hope. You know, many put hope in people. They put hope in a spouse or children or friendships, and they believe that these things will provide lasting fulfillment. And sometimes married couples can put so much investment in their children that when their children move out, they look at each other and say, now what? We've spent so much time, you know, getting our kids out the door. Now it's just us. We don't even know what to do. The reality is that so much hope is placed on this relational status, and that is within movies. You know, people will say, you'll hear people say in movies, well, you complete me, or all I need is love. all of these things are fantasies, and people can disappoint or be lost through death or distance. The reality is that this, of course, does not bring happiness or fulfillment in people's lives. Now, Christian hope is far different than cultural hope. And we're going to break it down tonight in greater detail, but I mean, on the surface, Christian hope is based on the Bible. Now, I want us to go again, if we could look at Romans 15, and look what the Bible says in verse number 4. Romans 15, verse number 4. If I could give you some context here, it's speaking of what is given to us in the Old Testament, that it's used to help us and encourage us to move forward. And the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Might have hope. I want us to notice there what the Bible says, that expression, the patience, through patience or endurance and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope is present in the life of a Christian even when the Christian doesn't realize it. And we're going to look at that as well here tonight. I read about during the Vietnam War, American prisoners of war were held for years in terrible conditions. Some of those people survived, but many did not. One survivor explained the difference of the survivors and those who died. This person said, "Men who lost hope, who believed they would never see home or family again, withered away, even if they were physically healthy. But the men who held on to hope, who believed that they would one day go free, found strength to endure." He wrote, "Their hope gave them something to live for." Now, scientists have confirmed this, who studied survivors of prisoner camps. They noticed the same thing. They said the presence of hope often meant survival. The absence of hope meant despair and even death. Now Solomon wrote about this in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Can you turn there in your Bible? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12. I want us to notice here what the Bible says. Proverbs 13 and verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. This is a proverb for life. This is a principle for our life. And it says this. It says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life." When someone hopes and that hope is delayed, when that hope doesn't come to pass, they grow weary in those things. When they lose sight of hope, when they cannot see in their mind an end, they grow weary. And so the Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But for the Christian, there is always hope. Now, what is hope? Let's break this down in more detail. What is hope? Cultural hope, if I were to define cultural hope, or that would be just a generic hope that people have in our world today, I would say cultural hope is merely an optimistic desire that something should be fulfilled. This is not guaranteed because it's dependent on changeable circumstances and changeable people. All right, so this is just an optimistic desire that in someone's mind it should be fulfilled. Now, Christian hope is optimistic assurance that something will be fulfilled. This hope is guaranteed hope, not subject to change, but rather it is anchored, and I want to use that word purposefully, anchored in our unchangeable Savior and Lord. It is assurance in our hearts. The Greek word that is used to describe hope in the New Testament is the word elpis, and it means a confident expectation. There are times in the Bible that the Bible will refer to a secular hope or a view of a secular hope. And you can read about that in the book of Job. Job's friends talked about that. You can read about it in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the Gentiles that had no hope in this world. But the spiritual aspect of the word Elpis, or the word hope in the Bible, is based on God's guaranteed promises. This is important. This hope will never disappoint. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 in our Bibles. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at what the Bible says here. Romans 5 and verse 3. Romans 5 and verse number 3. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." This hope will not bring shame. Now, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and notice the triune attributes of the Christian life here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and notice what the scriptures say in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Hope and faith, of course, are closely related. And maybe in your mind, you kind of think hope and faith are almost the same. Hope is an assured promise. Faith is acting out that promise. And there's a difference. And charity is love in action. And so the Bible says the greatest of these three is charity. It's love in action as it all flows from our faith and our hope. So this is what hope is. Hope is an assured promise. God will keep his word. It is based from the scripture. It comes from the Bible, but it is also anchored in the nature of who God is. God cannot lie. So here's the question: what is hopelessness? You know, when zealous religious leaders sought to kill the Apostle Paul, who was a Roman soldier, a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar. And soon the Apostle Paul found himself a prisoner on a ship headed to Rome. A treacherous storm arose, and eventually all on board lost hope. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And when neither sun nor stars and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us," this is what Luke wrote in Acts 27 verse 20. He says, "All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Hopelessness is characterized by absolute despair. Hopelessness is absolute despair with no expectation of good. Hopelessness is absolute despair with no expectation for good. By the way, it was the Apostle Paul that stood up among those men who were hopeless. And he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." I believe God. There's hope in the Lord. The Bible says in Job 8, verse 13, it says, "So the paths of all that forget God and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." Now, who are the hypocrites in Job chapter 8? It refers to godless people who are insincere. Someone who pretends to be religious but has no true fear of God. And why does their hope perish? Their hope perishes because it's not rooted in God. Now you say, why are you saying all of this? I'm saying this because just because someone claims to have hope doesn't mean that they have real hope. You can claim to have hope, but be hopeless. And the Bible says that the godless, the insincere, the hypocrite's hope shall perish away. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that just because someone claims a hope doesn't mean that they have true hope. Now, the word hopeless in the Bible, you won't find the word hopeless, but you will find the word that's used to describe hopelessness, and that's the word despair. Despair. It's the Greek word elpelpizo, and it means, alpo means away from, elpezo means to hope. And so when we put it together, the thought of that word despair in the Greek, it means to be away from hope. That's the idea, to be away from hope. And so we're hopeless is the idea. Hopelessness or hopeless thinking can result in a desire to die. Those who feel hopeless are unable to see a solution to the problem or the circumstances of their life. People who are away from hope, they have a feeling of lostness and are desperate. And we notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. Can you turn there and notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 in verse number 116. Psalm 119 in verse 116. Look what the Bible says here. 119 verse 116. It says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." As Christians, we should always be hopeful people. And I understand that's not always the case, but there's always hope in the Lord. There's always hope in the Lord. We talked about a general hope, cultural hope. We called it, we could call it the cultural sand, or we could call it the sand of a cultural hope. Building your life on the sands is not a foundation for your life. And so that type of hope will perish, Job says. That type of hope will perish. And we notice the anchors of the Christian hope. What's holding the Christian hope fast? Well, just some thoughts here. Hope in God's unchanging values and truth. There's hope in God's unchanging justice. There's hope in God's unchanging promises in our life. There's hope in God's unchanging integrity and righteousness. There's hope in God's unchanging wisdom and understanding. There's hope in God's unchanging purposes for our life. There's hope in God's unchanging abilities. There's hope in God's unchanging provision. There's hope in God's unchanging plans for the future. I could go on and on for the anchors of hope that we have in the Christian faith. Our hope, our anchor is the Lord. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 6 in our Bible? I have lots of scripture here tonight. I want you to see this is from the Bible. Hebrews chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 16. The Bible says this, "For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Among people, an oath is given to settle arguments, and normally oaths are appealed upon a someone greater or something greater. And the Bible says that God doesn't need to swear since his word is already perfect, but to strengthen our insurance in the promise that God made, he confirmed his promise with an oath. And the Bible says by two immutable things in Hebrews 6, the two immutable things is the promise that God made and the oath that God made. And they are unbreakable. because God cannot lie. Not God won't lie. God cannot lie. The Bible says that believers have fled for refuge, like the manslayer who ran to a city for refuge in the Old Testament. And in Numbers chapter 35, Christ is our refuge. And this gives to us a strong consolation, the writer of Hebrews says. It gives to us a great encouragement because our hope rests on God's unchanging character. Our hope is an anchor, and it holds us steady through the storms of life. And it's built on the Lord. The Bible says it is sure, and it is steadfast. And it reaches within the veil, the Bible says, the very presence of God in the heavenly sanctuary. Our hope connects us directly to God's throne through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 1 now? Look what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Look what the Bible says, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him," that's speaking of Jesus, "who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory." Now notice what Peter says. "That your faith and hope might be in God." Through Jesus Christ, we come to God and we find our faith and our hope in God. And Jesus is that anchor in our life. He is that sure and steadfast anchor that holds us in the storms of life and the difficulties of life. Through love and loss, he is the one who anchors our soul. Our life is anchored in Christ. He is our hope. Proverbs 10, verse 25 says this, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation." I'm sure you've heard this before. This is an old saying. It's a popular saying. Life with Christ is endless hope, and without him is hopeless end. Hopeless end. Now, when you talk to someone about hope, people can't have hope without Jesus. It all begins with that anchor. And it all begins with knowing the Lord. And if you're having conversation to people about a hope in their heart and in their life, a hope in this economy, a hope in this political storm, a hope in our country, a hope in the crisis of life that they might find themselves in, then you quickly need to point them to Jesus. Because that is the hope for our hearts. God's purpose for, you could say to them, God's purpose for you, God's will for your life is that you'd be saved. Why did the Father send Jesus to earth? So that you could have faith and hope in God. That's what Peter said. God loves you and God wants you to have hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The problem, of course, is sin. Sin is everything that God isn't. God is truth, and therefore lying is sin. God is holy, and therefore anything unholy is sin. And sin has a consequence, and the consequence is death. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." We cannot solve our problem ourselves. Trying to solve our own sin debt is hopelessness. Because we cannot. We are lost. We are blind. We are in darkness, we are dead in our sins. This is what the Bible says. And God's provision for us is a Savior. Can anything remove the penalty of our sin? The answer is yes, it is Jesus. But God commended, Romans 5:8, but God commended, he showed, he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must trust in the person of Jesus Christ as being God in the flesh, and in his death and resurrection as providing the only way to God the Father. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we will never, ever have hope, true hope, in this world without Christ. He is the anchor for our soul. Storms will come, hardships will come, losses will come, heartbreak will come, hurt will come, but there is always hope in God. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. I'm going to quote from a book here, Hope Always. It says, some days are like that, some people are too. Life is full of disappointment. Sometimes just getting out of bed in the morning can leave you battered and bruised. Life isn't always fair. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Many are closer to giving up than those around them realize. Unfortunately, they are not born with a roadmap to life in one hand and a compass on the other. We can spend decades climbing the ladder of success, only to find that it is leaning up against the wrong wall. It is the Lord who gives us fulfillment in life and hope in our heart. Jesus is the anchor. He's the anchor. But there are times in the life of a Christian where they may feel hopeless. Now, feelings are not reality. I think we have to understand that. Feelings are not reality. We all have feelings, and feelings are of good. They are of God, and they are good, but feelings are not our guide. We cannot follow feelings. We must follow truth. And you may come to the place in your life where you feel or you sense sense hopelessness in your life, and you say, well, can a Christian face that? I think of a man of God in the Old Testament that did, after the great victory on Mount Carmel, when Elijah called down fire from heaven and defeated the prophets of Baal. You would think that this man would have enough faith and courage for everyone around him. But immediately after Jezebel threatened his life, Elijah ran into the wilderness in fear, and he sat, the Bible says in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, he sat under a juniper tree and he prayed. This was his prayer. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." The battle of the Christian begins in the mind. And Satan can use circumstances in our life to get us to think differently than reality. We can become emotionally overwhelmed and find ourselves in trouble. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews to let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a downward spiral of despair. And what are the results of this downward spiral? I think it can lead to discouragement. I think it can lead to disillusionment. I think it can lead to depression. I think it can lead to disdain and disunity and disharmony. And I think it can lead to despair. To despair. I think about Jonah for a moment, who went down to Joppa. And it really just marked his life. He went down to Joppa, away from God. And it was this downward spiral of hopelessness and anger and bitterness in his heart. And as I think one of the most frustrating things about reading the life of Jonah is we never know if this prophet got his heart right with God. We never find out if he finds and realizes that hope was always there. I want to give you some steps to hopelessness if you find yourself in that place in your life. Again, Hebrews 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We always have an anchor. We always have hope in Christ. And sometimes our feelings don't line up with the reality, like Elijah and David, and even Paul felt moments of despair. But Paul never lost sight of the hope that was there. Can we go to 2 Corinthians and notice what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, his second letter to the church at Corinth. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. Notice what Paul says. He says, we are troubled. This is verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. There's that word there that means hopelessness. The idea of being perplexed, the Greek word there, it means to be without a way. It means to be lost. It means to be uncertain or not knowing what to do next. Paul says, listen, there are times when we don't know what to do next. We don't understand what God's doing, but we are never hopeless. We are never in despair. Let me give you some steps to restoring and realizing the hope that is already there. Lamentations chapter 3. Can we turn there? Lamentations chapter 3. This is a testimony of Jeremiah after seeing the condition of Israel and the burnt down cities and broken walls. His heart is looking to the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. Let me read it to you. It says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good, verse 25, unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. This is a great scripture about hope. And I'm going to give you some thoughts about how to see that hope in your life again. Number one, I think we need to look at the situation accurately. He acknowledges his affliction honestly. Doesn't try to sugarcoat his pain. Doesn't try to hide his pain. He recognizes the depth of his suffering. It is sunk into his very soul. He feels the weight of it emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And he's looking at life through a broken lens. He understands things are not clear and he doesn't understand why. But he's humbled by the circumstances of his life. And so we don't ignore the circumstances we face. We look to God in those circumstances. I think we need to line up our thinking with what gives hope. Look what he says here in verse 21. He says, this I recall to my mind. What does he recall to his mind? Well, he remembers that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, that because of God's mercies, he's not consumed, and that his compassions, God's compassions, they fail not. I would say that Jeremiah looks to the mercy of God, the compassions of God. He looks to the faithfulness of God, and he looks to the sufficiency of God in those moments in his life. Can we go to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. And that's a rhetorical question. There is. And if there be any praise, there is. Think on these things. Think on these things. And so we got to line up our thinking with hopeful thinking. And we have to learn what gives hope in the midst of this situation. Jeremiah was broken by his circumstances. He was broken by the condition of Israel. He didn't understand why God would allow this to happen. But he was hopeful in the faithfulness of God. And he found hope in who God is and what God had promised to do. I say we need to linger on God's truth. He says in Lamentations 3, verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every single day as a child of God, listen to me, every single day as a child of God, God is faithful to you. He's faithful to you. And then I say, let God be your portion. He says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him? Will I hope in him? I think about the financial crash that happened and all of those people taking their own life because money was their portion. In their mind, they lost everything. Now, you talk about a man who lost everything. Let's talk about Job for a second. There's a man that we would say lost everything. And if you were to say, Job, how can you rejoice? Job, how can you have hope? You've lost everything. Job would say, I didn't lose everything. God is still on my side. And he's still faithful to me. The Lord is my portion. He is all that I need. And then I say, lean on his truth and allow the hope of God to fill your heart. The Bible says in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Lean on the Lord and not on your own understanding. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. In the novel by Daniel Defoe, Robinson Crusoe was shipwrecked on a desolate island. He alone survived while everyone else on board drowned. And though separated from humanity, he did not starve. Though without clothes in a hot climate, he didn't need them. Though he was on an island with no supplies, since his ship was wrecked near the shore, he could get the necessary items. And he concluded with this perception. He said, no situation was so miserable that something good couldn't come from it. No matter how bad, there was something to be thankful for. And when we find ourselves shipwrecked in life, when even tempted to be feeling hopeless, I say to you to put your hope in the Lord and to be thankful to him how he can use your trials for good. Reality is not merely what you see, it is what God says. Reality is not merely what you see, but it is what God says. If you say, I've lost hope, God would say to you, hold on, I'm your hope. If you say today, well, it's impossible, you know what God would say to you? All things are possible with me. If you say, nothing good can come from this, I think he would just quote Romans 8:28 and says, all things work together for good. If you say, I don't know the way, God would say, I'll teach you the way. God is, you know what Romans 15:13 says? God is the God of all hope. And may that hope fill your heart today. I know our world is, in our country, and all these things can be so disappointing and can leave us frustrated. And if our hope is in just these things, then we are living in a hopeless circumstance. Do you know what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth? He said, listen, here's the theology. He said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are hopeless people. I mean, if Christ is not risen from the dead, if Jesus is not alive today, then we are of men most miserable. We are hopeless people. We are in despair. We have nothing to celebrate. We have nothing to be happy about. We are miserable people. But Paul says, but he is risen from the dead. And there is hope. There is hope. Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we have patience, with patience wait for it. Now this doesn't mean that hope causes salvation. The Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. But rather salvation is experienced in hope. Our present salvation points us forward to a future completion, a glorification. And right now we are saved in part. We are saved, we are forgiven, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but not in full. We still live in a fallen body, in a broken world. But we have hope, we have a confident expectation, Paul says, that God will finish what he started. We have a hope that God will complete his work, and hope looks forward to what is not yet here. If we already had it in full, we would no longer be hoping. We would be having. This is Paul's logical point. You can't hope for what you already possess. Paul said that hope requires patience. It requires endurance. We wait with perseverance, not in despair, not with a hopeless attitude, but with a hope that is certain, a hope that we have as an anchor for our soul. Therefore, he says, I have hope. And therefore, you have hope as a Christian. And this is what we stand on today. There may be times in your life you feel hopeless. But if you're a Christian, you are never hopeless. There's always hope in God. And to that, we truly can be thankful. Let's pray together. Lord.